Hi, I'm Andrew Lam, a program manager on the SQL Server team. In this video, I'm going to cover what's new with SQL Server in C#. First, we'll go over the connectors available for C# and the work we've been doing for connecting from .NET Framework and .NET Core. We'll then cover some demos for .NET Framework with Always Encrypted and .NET Core with Entity Framework Core. Lastly, we'll go over some calls to action and resources available. Today, the connectivity landscape includes both Microsoft-developed and open-source-developed connectors. These connectors allow you to connect from all operating systems to all SQL products, both on-premises and in the cloud. Our focus today will be on C#. So let's zoom into the connectors available. The full .NET framework is available on Windows. You can connect to SQL using system.data. .NET Core is available on Windows, Linux, and Mac OS. You can connect to SQL using system.data SQL client. So what have we been working on in .NET Framework? Always Encrypted support in SQL Client allows data to be encrypted on the client machine. This keeps sensitive information secure. We'll go over how to set this up in your application later on in a demo. .NET Framework now provides Azure Active Directory as a new authentication method. You can use this authentication method to connect to SQL Server and Azure SQL Database. We've also added a new connection string parameter called pool blocking period. Before I go into what this parameter does, let's first cover what connection pooling is first. A connection pool is a cache of database connections that are maintained so that the connections can be reused when future requests to the database are required. When connection pooling is enabled and a timeout error or other login error occurs, an exception is thrown. Subsequent connection attempts fail for the next 5 seconds. This is what we consider the blocking period. When the application attempts to connect during the blocking period, the first exception that was thrown is thrown again. A new blocking period that is twice as long as the previous blocking period starts if another connection attempt is made. The max blocking period is 1 minute. Many applications that connect to Azure SQL Database need to render quickly, and the exponential blocking period can be problematic. The pool blocking period parameter aims to improve the experience for connections to Azure SQL Database. The default value is auto, which turns the blocking period off for all Azure SQL servers and on for all SQL servers. The value always block turns the blocking period on for all SQL servers, including Azure, while the never block value turns the blocking period off for all SQL servers, including Azure. The new parameter aims to allow users to select which blocking period behavior is best suited for their application. Our engineering team has really enjoyed developing SQL Client in .NET Core 1.1. We've been able to engage actively with the community to get quicker feedback about the capabilities we've been working on. If you didn't already know, .NET Core enables developers to have more flexible deployments. You can choose to deploy the runtime from your application or install it side-by-side, user or machine-wide. One of the greatest things about .NET Core is that it's cross-platform. This allows developers to seamlessly run applications on their platform of choice, regardless of the platform it was developed on. For example, the app you developed on Windows can be deployed to Mac OS and Linux without ever having to port any code. We've been developing System Data SQL Client incrementally, and we're working to add new capabilities in each release. Our team first develops new features for .NET Core, and when a release of .NET Framework goes out, we port our new features over. By developing in .NET Core first, we've been able to get feedback quickly and make changes required before we release .NET Framework. Now, let's jump into some demos. Today, I'm going to show you how easy it is to set up Always Encrypted and configure an application to handle the encryption. We'll develop this app on Windows with a full .NET framework. You can use this to keep your data safe. Now, let's check them out. First, let's create a database called Clinic in SQL Server 2016 on my local machine. Next, we'll create a table called Patients, and this will hold the patient ID, social security number, first name, last name, and birth date. Next, we'll insert some values into the table. So I'll create 4 new patients. Let's go ahead and make sure that actually inserted. As you can see here, the social security numbers are displayed in plain text. We actually want to keep this information secure. So let's go ahead and set up encryption on this table. We can use the encryption wizard to do this and set this up quickly. So we want to encrypt the social security number column. We'll choose deterministic And this will actually auto-create a new encryption key for this encryption. We'll store this in the Windows Certificate Store, both the column master key and the column encryption key. Let's go ahead and start this up. This is going to generate, like I said, the column master key and the column encryption key. And then it's going to actually encrypt the SSN column. Now that the encryption is set up, let's close the wizard. Let's query the table again to see what this actually did. As you can see here, the SSN values are now encrypted. You can't actually tell what the values are. So now that this encryption is set up, what does this mean for our application? I have an app set up here that connects to the database and actually tries to query the patient's table. It's going to try to read the social security number, first name, last name, and birth date, and then it's going to print it out on the console. So let's start that up. Now that encryption was set up, the application can't actually interpret what the social security values are. As you can see here, I can't see the plain text values. So what can we do to configure the application to actually interpret the encrypted values? Super simple to set up. All I need to do is add a keyword in the connection string called column encryption setting and turn it on to enabled. So let's start the application one more time. Awesome. Now you can see that you can actually read and interpret the encrypted values. Always Encrypted is super simple to set up, and it's easy to configure your application to actually interpret the encrypted values. First, let's make a new directory for a new project in .NET Core. Let's change directories into it, and we'll create a new .NET Core project. This is going to create two files in my .NET demo folder, a program.cs file and a project.json. I'm going to replace that quickly. I have some other samples that we're going to use today. I'm just going to copy those over into my new project. And now let's use VS Code to open this .NET project. As you can see here, I have my program.cs and my project.json. I've added Entity Framework Core into my dependencies here. We're going to use this to help simplify some database operations later on. We also need a user.cs file. This is going to create a user model for us. A user has a user ID, first name, and last name. We're also going to have a task model that has a task ID, title, due date, checks whether it's complete or not, and can be assigned to a user. So let's check out what this program is going to do. We're connecting to SQL Server on my local machine, which is a Linux machine, and I'm passing in my username, my password, and the database. I'm first going to ensure that the database is deleted in case I've run this demo before, and then we're going to create the new database. In the actual demo itself, we're going to create a new user named Andrea and create a new task, which is called Work on SQL Client. We're then going to assign the task to Andrea. And then from there, we're going to actually just read from the database and just look at what tasks are available for Andrea. Then we're going to update the task. So we're going to update the due date for the task from 2017 to 2016. And then we're going to delete all tasks in the year 2016. So why don't we go ahead and run this? All right, so we're going to run a .NET restore to actually restore our dependencies. All right, restore completed. Now we're going to run the actual demo. So as you can see here, we've created a database, and now we've also created a user named Andrea. Then we're going to create the task, Work on SQL Client, and assign it to Andrea. Just now, we have updated the due date and updated it from April 2017 to June 2016. And then I've deleted the task. So that was my quick demo. So now, obviously, I've been able to do all this through my actual application. What does this look like in my actual SQL server? Well, within SQL, I can actually use VS Code to actually query my database. So let's go and try that. Let's first connect to our database. Localhost server name, my username, my password. Won't save the password. All right, we're connecting to the database. Perfect, we're connected now. Let's switch over to the actual database we just created, which is EFSampleDB. Let's go ahead and query the users table that we just updated. As you can see here, I have a user named Andrea. Let's see if there are any tasks available for Andrea. Perfect, there aren't any because it actually just deleted the task that I just created for myself, which was work on SQL client. So you can see here, in a matter of minutes, I was able to set up .NET Core on my machine, connect to a database, perform some tasks like create, update, and delete, and I've stayed all within Linux in doing so. I hope you enjoyed the two demos we went through today. Please check out .NET Core and GitHub. System Data SQL Client is contained in the CoreFX project. This whole project is open source, and we welcome contributions. Also, check out some of our new documentation for how to get started with different programming languages on Linux, macOS, and Windows. Connect with us on Twitter at SQL Server and at Azure SQL Database to let us know what you thought about this video. We're excited to continue improving .NET Framework and .NET Core to bring the best support for connecting to SQL Server across all platforms. Thanks for watching.